Nancy Lee DeMoss says the Word of God never changes, no matter what happens on Wall Street.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. And we could say in modern terms, though the stock market plummets to all-time inconceivable lows. Though our bank accounts get emptied out, we will not fear. Our confidence is in the Lord.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, May 12th. What tempts you to fear? In the news this year, you've watched the devastation after a major earthquake and tsunami that was followed by a nuclear drama. In the United States, we hear debates about national debt and inflation worries. And thousands of people are still out of work, wondering when they'll experience a recovery. We decided to return to a message Nancy delivered in 2008 called Hope for Uncertain Times. We began part one yesterday. How can you survive and thrive when there's so much to worry about? The biblical principles Nancy explored during the recession of 2008 are still applicable for you and me today. Let's listen.
The points that I'm sharing in this special three-day series, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, are available in a booklet that we've produced called Hope for Uncertain Times. I shared the first of those 10 points yesterday, which was look upward in times of uncertainty and crisis rather than looking outward or inward. If your focus is on your circumstances outward or yourself inward rather than upward on God, then you're going to fall into fear, insecurity, you're going to start hoarding, clinging to what you have, and you're going to end up depressed and in despair. And that's the downward cycle that so many people are on today, even some believers. What it means to be a believer in Christ is to have a very different kind of response. Rather than fear, we respond in faith. Rather than insecurity, we place our confidence in the Lord. Rather than hoarding, we demonstrate generosity. And rather than falling prey to depression and discouragement and despair, we can illustrate joy and hope in the Lord. That's the first point. Make sure that your focus is upward. Now, here's a second point, and I'm going to share hopefully 6 points in our program today and then the last few tomorrow. But number two, tell God your needs. Tell God your needs. Pray. You say, that's not really the help I was looking for. But you know, how often do we whine or complain or worry or fret or stress about our needs, and we talk about prayer, but we don't actually do it? Ask God to use this season of turmoil and uncertainty to accomplish His purposes, to bring about revival and spiritual awakening in our churches and in our country. Philippians 4, you know this verse, the Lord is at hand, the Lord is near. So, what's the implication of that? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. We've said this so many, many times, but do we practice it? He said, when you pray, this is one of the things you are to say, give us this day our daily bread. You know, most of us don't really need to ask God for food for today most of the time. But there are some listening to this program today who do need daily bread and don't know where it's coming from. And probably all of us know people for whom it's not a given that there will be food on their table today. And it can be a scary thing, but it can also be a really healthy thing for us to have those seasons of our lives where we have to ask God, Lord, would you provide us with our daily bread? That desperation that makes us cry out to God. Now, in this booklet that we're making available, Hope for Uncertain Times, with each of these points, I've listed a couple of making it personal questions so we can take this home. And here are the questions on this point. Have you prayed about it? Are you asking God to provide your daily bread and to show you what steps of action He may want you to take? Are you praying for revival? So tell God your needs. Number three, learn the secret of contentment. Paul says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What is that secret? The secret is contentment. Choosing to believe that God has provided everything I need for this present moment. You say, but what about what I need tomorrow? Contentment is believing that God has not only provided all that I need for this moment, that what He has given me for now is enough, but also believing that when I need something in the future, He will provide that as well. Now, what God provides in our time of need may be less than it was previously. And contentment enables us to live within what God provides and to give Him thanks for what He provides. 1 Timothy tells us that there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, basic necessities of life, with these we will be content. So the question we need to ask ourselves at a time like this is, are there any seeds of discontentment showing themselves in my words or in my attitude, my spirit? Is there murmuring, complaining, fretting, expressing that what God has provided is not sufficient to meet our needs? The child of God can have a contented heart even when the supply is less, when we have to cut back, as Revive Our Hearts is doing at this time, as many of you are having to do, many people are having to do that, but we can still have a contented heart knowing that God has provided and will provide all that we need. Number four, ask God to fulfill His purposes. Ask God to fulfill His purposes. God uses adversity to show us what's in our hearts. He uses adversity to purify us and to deepen our dependence on Him. Seasons of leanness can prove to be times of great blessing as we are stripped of self-reliance and people's hearts are turned toward the Lord. So we can thank God for lean times because God uses those to purify us, to test us. One of the best verses I know of in the scripture that makes that point is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses is rehearsing the history of the children of Israel. And he talks about God's provision. But he also says, God humbled you and He let you hunger. Now, that's not something that we wish was in the Bible. God let you hunger. God humbled you and let you hunger, Moses said. And here's the rest of it, fed you with manna. There were times when God let you hunger so that He could show you that He could feed you. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, in Israel's history, those times of leanness became opportunities to be more reliant and dependent upon God. So, as you think about the purposes of God and what He's trying to accomplish in these lean times in our nation and in perhaps your own life and family, are you more focused on meeting your needs and solving your problems or on seeing God's redemptive purposes fulfilled? God's purposes in your life, in those around you, and in our world. And if it's necessary for you to suffer loss or to be materially poor, is that something you're willing to embrace? Is that something I'm willing to embrace if that would result in God being glorified and His kingdom being advanced? You see, we have to say, whose agenda are we on, God's or ours? If it's our agenda, then we'll say, all that matters to me is getting a job, having enough money, getting my needs met, solving my problems. But if we're on God's agenda, we'll say, Lord, if You can fulfill Your agenda better by our ministry or our family or our church or my husband's business, not having the abundance that we've had at times in the past, if that's what would glorify You and fulfill Your purposes, then we say, yes, Lord, we will accept what Your purposes are. We want You to be glorified. And then number five, allow God to purify your heart. You know, lean times can be a means of God's chastening. Not always. Sometimes, you know, the righteous suffer along with the unrighteous. Sometimes it's just part of living in a fallen world. But you got to admit that in times of adversity, God gets our attention. So personally or corporately, this can be an expression of God's discipline. And ask God whether that's the case in your life. Ask him what he's trying to say to you through these circumstances. Let him search your heart and then respond in humility and obedience. Say, what kinds of things might we need to confess? I'll tell you, some things that some people are realizing need to be repented of are things like living beyond our means, irresponsible debt, fear, greed, temporal values, bitterness, withholding our tithes and offerings from the Lord's work, lack of compassion for others in need. Say, Lord, are there any of these things or other things that are in my heart that I need to repent of, that need to be confessed? Allow God to purify your heart. And then number six, allow God to reorder your priorities as needed. Allow God to reorder your priorities as needed. Times of economic hardship or loss have a way of exposing what really matters to us, what we really love. And these times of loss and hardship provide an opportunity for us to identify if we have a tendency to accumulate stuff that we don't need. And I know when I walk into my closet, when I walk into my house and I start to think about others who are really strapped financially, all of a sudden I start to see I have all kinds of things I really don't need. Now, there's nothing wrong with having additional things if God blesses you with those. God gives us richly all things to enjoy at certain seasons of our lives. But if we feel that we have to have those things to be happy, then our priorities need to be reordered. And I believe God is wanting some of us, maybe a lot of us, to take steps to simplify our lives during these tight times, to develop a more temperate or moderate lifestyle. And I think in a lot of our souls, as a result of these last couple of decades of affluence, we've been stuffed. We're overfull, and we've got sick feelings in our souls. And God may be wanting to strengthen and make our souls more healthy by helping us to develop a more simple and moderate, temperate lifestyle. I found myself recently just in a desire to not have to cut back on my personal giving, realizing that I have two choices. I can live on less or I can give less. And I don't want to be in a position of having to give less. That may be required, but the first thing I want to say is, could I live on less? And where are some areas that I could reorder my priorities and say, is this really a need or is this just a want? Is this something that I have to have or is this something that, at least for this time, could be put away so that I could be in a position to share with others who truly are in need? I think we need to redefine what constitutes a need and some of us to make adjustments in our spending so that we can live within our means or we can give to meet the needs of others. And then number seven, put your confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. In times of financial uncertainty or loss, we demonstrate what we're really trusting in. Are we trusting in our job to provide for our needs, an employer? Are we trusting in our salary? Are we trusting in the stock market? Are we trusting in our investments? Are we trusting in the government to meet our needs? Trusting in a mate, parents, friends? Or are we trusting in God? 1 Timothy 6, Paul tells us believers, don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but set your hope on God. Put your confidence in the Lord. He can be trusted. He loves you. He knows what you're facing. He cares for you. These circumstances in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, in our ministry, and others like ours, these circumstances have not caught God off guard. He is still very much on his throne, and he is accomplishing his purposes in your life and in this world. And I know this could sound like just a trite saying, but it really is the bedrock in times like these. We've got to trust God to meet our needs and to believe that He will provide. God can go to extraordinary lengths to meet the needs of His children. And I believe that now is a time for us to see and to demonstrate what God really can do. I love that story, that passage, and I wish we had time to walk through the whole passage, but let me encourage you to read it in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's the first 16 verses, and you remember the story where Elijah the prophet went to the king Ahab and said, for the next 3 years, there's going to be no rain in the land. God was disciplining His people. And then God took care of His prophet in the midst of this drought. And it's just a wonderful story. It'll strengthen your heart. Let me just summarize it for you. God told him first, I want you to go and hide by this brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So God miraculously provides a brook when the brooks are all running dry in the land, and provides ravens for Elijah to have food and water at a time when people are running out of food and water. You say, well, that's Old Testament. God doesn't do things like that today. You know what? I think one of the biggest reasons we don't see God do things like that today is because either we're not desperate enough or we don't believe that He can. If God needs to send ravens to feed your family, He can do that. And what an opportunity for us to show to the world the power of God. So Elijah went, he camped out at the brook, and the ravens brought him the bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. God knew he needed 2 square meals a day and provided them during that economic crisis. But then it says, after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So what's going to happen now? And you can imagine the prophet saying, Lord, you've provided for me all this time, but now this source has dried up. Do you have a source of provision in your life or the life of someone you love that has dried up? God provided it for a time, but now it's not there. God says, arise, go to Zarephath. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Now, in a time of drought, for a widow to be his source of provision was just as unlikely as a raven to be his source of provision. But God specializes in the impossible. So he goes to Zarephath, and he finds there a widow who is gathering sticks, and he says to her, could you get me a little water to have a drink? She goes to get the water, and then he says, could you bring me a piece of bread that I could have something to eat? She then tells him that she is in desperate, dire straits. She says, I have nothing, no food in the house. All I have is a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And then she says, right now I'm gathering sticks so I can go in and make a fire, prepare my flour and oil for myself and my son so that we can eat it, and then we're going to die. Here's a woman in despair, and God sends Elijah to her house and says, I want to provide for you through this destitute widow. And I love Elijah's words to her. He says, do not fear. Don't be afraid. Go in and do what you've said. Make the cake, but first give me a portion. Don't fear. Be generous. And then make some for yourself and your son. So the woman steps out in faith. She does what the prophet says, and God makes to her the promise and then fulfills the promise that until the day that the rain comes back on the land, that jar of flour will never run out and the jug of oil will never be empty. And God fed his prophet, he fed that widow, he fed her son. When people around were famished, were starving, God met their needs. You can trust in the Lord. Go read Matthew chapter 6. Don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, clothing, what you're going to wear. God will provide. Remember what God has done in the past, how he's provided. Rely on his character. Rehearse his promises. Refuse to give in to fear or anxiety. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. And we could say in modern terms, though, the stock market plummets to all-time inconceivable lows. Though our bank accounts get emptied out, we will not fear. Our confidence is in the Lord. Now, in the meantime, be careful about taking matters into your own hands. That's an expression of fear. Don't let fear or panic drive you to make decisions or to go places that God does not want you to go. Abraham did that in the Old Testament in a time of famine. He went down to Egypt, and he picked up a whole lot of problems along the way. Elimelech and his family did that in the book of Ruth. They left Israel in a time of famine and went to Moab, and they ended up with a lot of problems with death and discouragement and issues. Don't let fear and panic take you to places that God is not leading you. And, oh Lord, how I pray that in these fearful times, you will find us being believing people, and that our responses to these issues and challenges will demonstrate to the world how great, how powerful, how mighty you are, that they will see your hand at work. May we see miracles that only you can do, and may we be able to tell the next generation, years from now, this is what God did. This is how he provided. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Nancy Lee DeMoss recorded that message at the beginning of the economic crisis in 2008. In a world that's still feeling very unsettled and afraid, I hope you'll allow God's truth to calm your heart. Nancy's here to tell you about an effective way to remember all you've heard today and apply this message to your situation.
We've put together a pamphlet that includes the 10 points we're covering in this series. The pamphlet is called Hope for Uncertain Times. So when you're tempted to be anxious by all the news swirling about you, whether on the international scene or just in your own personal life, you can pull this pamphlet out and remind yourself about principles like these. Look upward. Tell God your needs. Learn the secret of contentment and ask God to fulfill his promises. We'd like to send you the pamphlet, Hope for Uncertain Times, along with a CD we've been telling you about this month called Hidden in My Heart. On this CD, you'll hear scripture that's been set to music. It's a wonderful way to do what we talked about earlier in the program, remember and rehearse God's promises. This CD will help you do that, to fill your mind with God's Word.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, with
we're able to encourage anxious hearts and to provide biblical teaching for women thanks to contributions from our listeners. When you partner with us, we'll send you this CD, Hidden in My Heart, along with the pamphlet, Hope for Uncertain Times. Now, as we've been sharing with you, we're trusting God for $350,000 in contributions during the month of May. This is the end of our fiscal year, and that means we're making decisions, evaluating the level of ministry we're able to commit to over the next 12 months. And we're also anticipating the summer months when contributions can tend to be down a bit. If you've never before given to Revive Our Hearts, you have a unique chance to help us meet this month's goal. That's because some friends of the ministry have offered to match the gift of every new supporter up to a challenge amount of $60,000. We hope you'll help us to meet and exceed that amount. And remember, whether you've given before or not, we want to send you the CD and the pamphlet when you give any amount. Just ask for Hidden in My Heart and the pamphlet Hope for Uncertain Times when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or if you prefer to give online, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com.
You won't hear many financial experts counseling you to give money away as a response to crisis, but generosity is actually very wise. Nancy will explain why tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.